It is so wonderful to be able to wake on this morning, to be able to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
As the weatherman predicts the weather, that's all it is a prediction.
Amen.
We know that God is in control.
Amen.
And for those that have gathered on this afternoon to worship God, understand the purpose, the reason, and the person in whom we're worshiping.
Amen.
We find in our lives to do all the things that would make us happy. But we need to consider, is God pleased with those things? As we look around at the ones that are gathered here on this afternoon, there are several that are not here for one reason or another. We need to continue to pray that the members of the West End congregation would strive to be more Christ-like. Understanding that the will of the Father is exactly that, doing what God is pleased with.
Amen.
The scripture reading was read from the book of Acts, chapter 10. And it talks about gathering together for a purpose. And I was reading some of the things that Sister Linda put in the good newsletter, and I saw the title and read just a little bit of what Brother Brown printed out. And I'd done this lesson earlier on last week, and as I was doing it, then I got his email, and I said, man, I say, look at how good God is, how He puts things on people's minds as they study the scriptures in order to display them or share them with someone else. And the word, it is so powerful. There's no way of getting around what God desires of us and what He expects us to do. He expects us to gather together in order to know His word, to hear His word. And just with verse 33 there, we see it says, now therefore we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Why are you here on this afternoon? Is it because you had nothing else to do? I know this is the time that most of you would take your nap. And I'm just going to be a little observant on this afternoon. If you go to sleep on me, I guarantee you, I'm coming down. Not to sit down, but to just gently tap you on your shoulder. Now, would that embarrass some of you? I'm pretty sure it will. But you know, as life goes about, we have to understand that one day we're going to die.
Amen.
And we're going to give an account on all things done in this body.
Amen.
Whether good or whether bad. Whether we worship God in spirit and in truth, or whether we worship Him in vain, ignorantly, just however you worshiped Him, you want to be judged according. So as we gather together, the word noble here, the gathering of noble people. Noble means having high moral qualities. And who in the scriptures, other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who do we find that was a noble character? A good moral person that worshiped God. none other than Cornelius. He worshiped God and he gave up alms unto God and they came up before him, but yet these things were not enough. So gathered here on this morning, for some, it's not enough. Just because you are good doesn't make you great.
Amen.
Just because you say that you're worshiping God doesn't make it acceptable unto God.
Amen.
So let's make sure that we do what we're supposed to. Let's go back and read what Brother Roland read earlier. Starting with verse 32 of Acts chapter 10, he says, "Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of commanded thee of God." Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." See, this is the problem that we have. We think that we know better than God. Oh, he's not going to listen to what you say. He don't care about the word of God. Are you sure? How do you know he's not going to listen to you? Have you went and knocked on his door or her door? Have you tried to teach them the word of God? The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. You know, the gospel is for everybody.
Amen.
It says, "But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." Verse 37, "That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." The gospel is for all. You drop down to verse 44. And it says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." See, they would gather together noble people in order to hear God's word. And since they were there to hear God's word, they heard it, and the Holy Ghost fell upon them. "And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
He's a God of all people. Jesus came to break down that middle wall of partition. He came to break it down in order for the gospel to be spread out through the world. It says in verse 46, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then pray they to him to tarry certain days." Do you see how good the gospel is?
Amen.
You remember back in Jerusalem when the gospel message was preached by Peter, and they heard what was preached and they were pricked in their hearts. It was after the Holy Ghost had fell upon them, and after they heard this word, the Bible says about 3,000 souls were added unto their number on that one day. Verse 47 says, "Praising God," going back to Acts chapter 2, "praising God and having faith with all the people, the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved."
Amen.
And what happened after that? They stayed there within Jerusalem, going from house to house, going into the temple, praying, studying God's word. So why not, according to Acts chapter 10, why not for those Gentiles, why not pray that they may stay there, tarry with them certain days, so they may get more from God's word and from God's people, the gathering of noble people. See, we need people to understand what it means to assemble together. We need people to understand what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth. We need people to understand what the purpose is to do the will of the Father. Unity of purpose. Going back to verse 1 of Acts chapter 10. Looking at Cornelius. And as we look at the life of Cornelius, let's look at the life of some of the people that are in our lives. He says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, devout now, and one that feared God with all his house. He feared God. He knew who God was. And he wanted to serve God to the best of his ability. And he did exactly that.
Amen.
But it did not make Cornelius a Christian.
Amen.
Just a good man. A good man. Who had good intentions. And you keep reading and you find that as we look at the life of Cornelius and the actions that Cornelius displayed in his own life and the lives of others. See, this is what we need sometimes. We need people to have the mind of Cornelius. Not just being good, but being a Christian, go out and gather others to come and to hear the word. It says in verse 24 of Acts chapter 10, and tomorrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. If it's the word of God, if I'm going to hear it, I want my family to hear it. I want my cousins to hear it. I want all my relatives to hear it. And I want my good friends to hear it as well. What about you? Do you want your good friends to hear the word? You know, people that you appreciate down here upon this earth, do you not want to spend your eternity with them? Why not share the word of God with them? Why not share the word of God with them? Perfect strangers that you meet on the street. You know, take the time sometimes to say, hey, here's a card. Why don't you come and worship with us? Or ask them, do you know who Jesus Christ is? Do you know why God sent him to this earth? And if you know, have you done anything about it? Or are you too ashamed to let people know that you are a Christian? The gathering of noble people. We need to be noble. We need to act the way God wants us to act. And when we come before God, let us come before Him with the right attitude. You know, there are so many that come before Him with the wrong attitude and think that they're doing what they're supposed to do and they're forgetting about God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him.
Amen.
God. In the book of Hebrews, the chapter is 12. Hebrews, the chapter is 12. And the verse is 28. Hebrews chapter 12. And the verse is 28. The English Standard Version says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, because our God is a consuming fire. Well, you mean to tell me there's a reason why we worship God the way we do? Bible says He's a consuming fire. He takes vengeance. You know, when our Lord and Savior come back, He's going to be taking vengeance on those that know not God and love not His appearing. Again, let us offer to God acceptable worship. As you came in on this afternoon, services began and the song leader started singing a praise. And what did you do? Did you say, I don't really like that song, I'm not going to sing it? As we began to pray, did you say, I really don't feel like praying today? What about when the communion tray was passed around and you said, I just finished eating because the services were a little late and I'm too full to eat the Lord's Supper. I really don't feel like drinking the fruit of vine today. You know, if you felt like any of those ways, I just count, you know, your worship is unacceptable to God. And I guess the next question would be, why are you here? Why are you here? Didn't have anything else to do. I know there are plenty of football games on right now. Today is Sunday. Football season. Getting close to the end of the season, matter of fact. Can't wait till it's over. But what about God? Where does He fit in? How are you really worshiping Him? Because it's all about Him. It's all about Him. Do you not know that you're going to have to give an account, not to anybody here? See, the elders are here to watch over the spiritual welfare of this congregation, over each man's soul. That's their purpose. You don't have to answer to them in the end. You're going to have to answer to God. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. That the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. You know, we know where God is. He's in heaven. He's looking down upon His people. And He's making sure that we are reverencing Him in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in His sight. So we don't have to bow down before any man. We have to bow down before Him. We present ourselves before God in a manner that He can say, as He did Job, have you considered my servant? Look at him. He's just. He's upright. He fears me because he knows that I'm a consuming fire. He knows how to worship me. He knows that partaking of the communion that is, you know, in remembrance of me sending my son to die for the sins of the world. And yes, I skipped the collection, didn't I? I mean, you say, oh, this is my money. I'm going to hold on to it. But God says to those that have given in a manner that is acceptable to Him, because they know that the money will be used for the upkeep of the kingdom, that the gospel may be spread throughout this land. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Realizing who God is. Why are you here? Why are you here? You know, if you have a noble purpose to be here today, it's to hear God's word. You know, there are some that just can't wait to hear God's word. You know, I'm in group four. Brother Shelton called me yesterday, and Brother Brown called me yesterday. And when I was talking to Brother Brown, Anita came into the room. She said, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" I said, "What do you mean, what's wrong?" She said, "I heard you say what?" I was talking to Brother Brown on the phone. He was saying, "You know, the services were going to be delayed until 2:00." I said, "What?" Now, I can't wait to get to services on Sunday morning. I just want you to know that right now. Yeah, I know sometimes I'm running a little late. You know, Anita beats me ready and all that. And she said, "I'm going to go off and leave you." You know, okay, it's walking distance. No problem. But you know, to gather together with the saints is a great thing.
Amen.
You know, we come to dedicate our services unto God. We come to do what He tells us to do according to His word. We come to hear His word being proclaimed. In Romans chapter 10, let's start with verse 13. Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 13. But we don't want anybody to misunderstand what it means to hear God's word. You know, when you hear God's word, it should, and you want to do something about it, you should, it could take some action. It takes you getting up out of your seat, doing what you know to be right. Verse 13 says of Romans 10, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." But they have not obeyed, all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, "Lord, who has believed our report?" Well, you know, there's so many people that have said, you know, "I have faith in God. You know, I believe in God." You know what that means? That means that somehow, one way or another, they have heard the gospel. Verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." When you have faith, you believe, you need to do something about it.
Man.
There are many people that are not doing anything about it. They need to understand that God wants them to be obedient. He wants them to hear what thus said the Lord. So in order to hear, we need to, you know, we need to pay attention to the things that are being said. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Mark 4:24. What are you doing with what you hear? And he said unto them, "Take heed what you hear. With what measure ye melt, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." Are you one of the ones that said, "Don't tell me anything else? I don't want to know anymore because I don't want to do anymore"? Or are you one of the ones that said, "Give me all that you have. I'm ready for it"? You can't get enough of God's word. You lay down at night meditating on it like you're told to do so according to the scriptures. You wake up meditating on it like you know that you're supposed to. And you walk around all day long with God on your mind, because you know that this is so important to Him, because it's all about Him, to hear God's word. In Luke chapter 8, verse 18. In Luke chapter 8, verse 18. To hear. You know, we need to do something with what we're hearing. Be very careful of how we hear it. So take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Well, you mean to tell me that when I hear this word, I need to put it into action? Absolutely. You mean to tell me when I hear the word of God and I believe that Jesus Christ is truly His Son, I need to make that confession if I'm not a Christian? Yes. You mean to tell me that I have to go down into the watery grave of baptism? And you know what I discovered when I came up here the other day? But I discovered that the water was warm. I read the sign. I didn't stick my finger in it though. I just felt that it was warm because, you know, of the humidity coming off of it. There's no excuse for a man to not to obey the gospel. Family shouldn't hold him back. Friends shouldn't hold him back. And we already know that Satan cannot hold him back. It's you that's holding yourself back. Why do you hear God's word and not do anything about it? Why hear God's word and not do anything about it? We find in Acts chapter 10, verse 48, as we've already read, When the gospel was proclaimed unto Cornelius and his household and to his near friends, that they were commanded to do something. It was commanded to do something. And if you're already doing what's right, what should make you or hesitate you from doing what you know that is right as it has been added unto you, the truth concerning God's word? It says again in verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days to be baptized. See, as we teach people, we need to teach them about baptism. We need to teach them what baptism would do to them. What would it do for them? Where it puts them as they become children of God. Going back to Acts chapter 15, verse 7 and 9. Acts 15, verse 7 and 9. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. See, he is not a respecter person. Yeah. Not a respecter person. So let us do what is right. You know, they had to, since they heard the gospel, they had to do something about it. There are those that are running around and say, oh, I have faith, but yet they're not doing anything about the faith that they have. It says in James chapter 2, verse 21. James chapter 2, verse 21. Oh, Abraham is called the father of faith, but that's for a reason. Not because he stood by and did nothing. It was because he was obedient to what God desired him to do. It says in verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only? No. Why do we have people saying, all you got to do is have faith, you don't have to do anything? Oh, yes, you do. God did his part. Now, we all must do our part. A man that has faith with no works is nothing. A man that says, look at all the good things I've done, and has no faith, he's nothing. It says in verse 25, likewise also was Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For if the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So let's keep with God's word. Let's keep doing the things that God would have us to do. Maybe you're here on this morning, and you are a child of God, but yet your life is not what it's supposed to be. You're not that noble person that God would have you to be. Your worship has been unacceptable unto him. We encourage you to get that right. We encourage you to repent of your faults. We encourage you to confess your faults one to another, that your worship may be acceptable once again. If you're strayed away from the fold, we encourage you to come back before it is too late. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian and you're ready to become one. Don't let anything hold you back. Come forth, make the good confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have your sins washed away in the watery grave before it is everlasting too late. If you're here and you're subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.